What's going on, Rebels? I'm Alex.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Cisco.
And we are the Black Series Rebels, and you're listening to the BSR Show. This week, we're enrolling in Euphoria High, making peace with the Peacemaker, and Boba Fett. Boba Fett, where? No, really, though. Has anyone seen Boba Fett?
Before we jump into the show, wherever you are listening to this episode, hey, hit that subscribe, leave a review, I don't know, click the stars, click the happy faces, I don't know, whatever it is. Be good to us, we'll be good to you. It'll really help us out.
Pins. We talked about them last week. Now, we have a little addendum. We are changing our pin drop to not this Saturday, but next. COVID, y'all, it's a real thing. It takes time to get this stuff prepped and ready.
Dick.
I know. You can hit me with the you dick. So pins are actually going to be coming on Saturday, February 5th at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on BlackSeriesRebels.com. We've already announced Michelangelo's coming back. We've got two pins from The Karate Kid. We've got Ray Stans, and we've got some more stuff getting announced. What would be today on social media, the day that this episode comes out. We just wanted to give people enough time to be able to plan, have us have a nice clean launch so that it's been a while since we've done a really like in order how we like to do it pin drop. And I just don't want anyone to buy anything, potentially have it sell out while you're in your cart. I want to make sure everything's ready and prepped and organized. So we're going to push it 1 week just so I have time to make sure everything's ready. So the reason we sell these action figure inspired pins, if you don't know this already, we make collectible pins that help fund our show. We made a movie, a short film. We're super proud of it. And I don't know if y'all know this, but sometimes that's expensive. And yep, we dropped some coin and we need to make back some coin. So pins are a really fun way for us to engage with you, to kind of like be engaged in the collecting side of our soul and make some cool stuff. So if you want to support the show, you want to pick up some pins on Saturday, February 5th, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. You go to BlackSeriesRebels.com. We're going to have tons of collectible pins. They will sell out. Boy, oh boy, I can't wait for you all to see what we're cooking up. Y'all, it's been a long week since two episodes. How are you doing, Cisco?
Tired.
Yeah.
Really tired.
This was a tough one to plug into, this show. We got to do it. Just get plugged in. What's got you so tired? If you can just talk about it.
We've got a lot going on over here. It was my wife's birthday on Monday, and we had planned to have a celebration this past weekend, but that fell through because of some COVID stuff, not with us directly, but with the family. And so that got delayed. We ended up still having like a nice little dinner with our family, and which was nice. And then just, you know, the normal kid stuff that just keeps you very much on your toes, as you guys know. So yeah, but other than that, dude, I'm doing pretty good. How about you, Steve-O?
Yeah. Ditto. Two kids is a game changer. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Life is good. I'm here. I'm happy. And I am ready to be positive.
Positive. I don't have two kids, so I can't relate on that front. So I know that any type of me saying I'm tired in a way has an asterisk compared to you boys. But
nah, man, everybody's got their own shit.
Everyone's got their own
shit.
Don't worry.
We're going to let you into the Hall of Fame. We're not going to bury Bonds yet. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, don't worry. Oh, man, they did him dirty like that. They did him dirty. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I know Cisco's like that Dodger shrug. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Listen, my only comment on that is, I have no opinion on whether he should be in the Hall of Fame or not, but if Pete Rose can't be in the Hall of Fame, he can't be in the Hall of Fame, and neither should anybody else that actually.
Sure, there's, yeah, David Ortiz was in that whole thing about steroids, and I guarantee you they'll march him in there, and it'll like.
Oh,
that,
he got He's on it. He got into the hall.
There you go. So yeah, that he's right the, he's there the only already one. Already makes it null and void. The decision to if it's based solely on steroids. You see what
I
did
there, guys? I just like I'm not even a sports guy, but I just went. I know. And you guys just fucking hit it out of the park.
I can't remember if we ever talked about this, but or maybe offline. But my thing about Barry Bonds is this, and in general in baseball, you can't be a dick and a cheater.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like if you're a cheater and you kind of like fall on your sword a little bit and you admit it and you know whatever and you're a likable guy like David Ortiz, Big Poppy, you're gonna be fine. But if you're both a dick and a cheater, you're kind of fucked. You can be a dick, you know. You can be like Jeff Kent, like he's just an asshole, and unlikable. But if you're universally hated, pretty much like Barry Bonds is, the writers, you know, they wield way too much power, you know, as it is. But you know,
I don't know enough about. Jesus. Jesus, somebody get this guy off the morning board. Who fucking invited morning show Steve?
Baba Booey. Hey, Baba Booey, seriously. Take it over there.
Oh, my God. I think when he said he was going to be positive, he meant push every fucking button on his soundboard.
I'm just trying to stay awake tonight, guys. I'm just sitting here looking at the music cue for the next one going, I need to press it. I need to press it. When's he going to call? No, I need to press it.
No. I'm just saying, all I'm saying before we go into show and tell is that obviously like I'm from San Francisco. I'm a San Francisco fan. So it's hard to hear that. I get it. But also like, if you're going to do it, call it fucking straight. Like if he's not in because of the fucking steroids, then every single fucking person that Hall of Fame, because there's a lot of them that were doing that shit, pull him out or put his ass in the Hall of Fame. It can't just be he cheated and we don't like him. That's not how that works. Like,
I think unfortunately most guys from that era of cheating, so it's like him, Clemens, Sosa, McGuire, are never going to get in.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I could take all the steroids in the world. I couldn't hit the ball into the bay.
Oh, no, like for that. Sure. And there is a valid argument to be made that he was a Hall of Famer prior to the steroid era. He was already there.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, I don't have a stance on whether or not he got robbed or not, whatever. But I do believe that if Pete Rose, who did not bet on baseball, did not cheat the game in any way, shape, or form. If he has been unilaterally banned from baseball for life, then you know I don't feel too bad for Barry Bonds.
Know who's dying right now? Ken Knapsack and John Hoyer are like, oh, I wish I was there right now to talk about this.
Why would we have those guys on? Neither of them know as much about baseball as me and you.
Nope.
Like, we're lucky to even let Cisco get in a word in on baseball. Steve and Alex are the baseball experts in the Star Wars podcasting world. Steve, who's your favorite baseball player?
You know, the number guy, the guy points in the sky.
You need to come up with a baseball name. Like, I like Johnny the Rugs from the Mets. Rugs?
Oh, no, the great Hambino.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no, I know who I like.
Jet.
No.
Benny the Jet, all-time great.
Come on. Better than that.
The hockey player, man. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Wiz is off the fucking rails. Okay. It's show and tell. Let's get to it. This is the segment where we bring something to show, and we tell us about how much we're loving it this week. Hey, Cisco, what'd you bring to show and tell us about?
I have two. Did I mention that I was listening to the Good Omens audiobook? I can't remember if I brought it up or not.
I feel like Good Omens came up because of the creator of it.
You mentioned Sandman.
So I think we were talking about Sandman, so I think you may have brought it up.
So I finished the first Sandman audiobook, and I started on Good Omens. Because I really want to watch the show, and I am almost done with the Good Omens audiobook. I think I might have like an hour left of it. It's so good. It's really funny. The basic story is two demons are working together. Oh no, I'm sorry. No, a demon and an angel are working together to sort of like stop the apocalypse from happening, basically. And it's very funny. It's a comedy, like a dark comedy, I guess. And they did a show. There's season one of the show is on Prime. David Tennant plays the demon. And then I can never remember the actor that plays the angel, what his name is.
John Travolta.
Yeah, no. Yes, Michael.
Mel Gibson?
Yes, not Mel Gibson.
As soon as you said angel, I was like, how am I going to get a Michael joke into this?
It's another British actor. Michael Sheen. Michael Sheen. Michael.
There you Michael. Go, it was Michael yeah. Starring John Travolta.
Yeah, Michael Sheen. And then John Hamm shows up in it. I've only watched the first episode of the show because the other day I was like, let me just throw it on just to see the pilot. And Frances McDormand, who we love, universally love around here. She does the narration. Anyway, I very much recommend it if you guys haven't either watched the show or listened to the audiobook or read the book. They are all very entertaining. And then the other thing that happened today, which I have not read yet, but my favorite in this household comic book returns with a vengeance.
Yes.
Saga is back.
Now, was this a surprise or did you know it was coming back?
We knew. Maybe a
year ago he started prepping, like, I'm writing Saga again. It's coming, right?
Maybe about a year ago. But I would say probably 4 or 5 months ago, it was like getting solicited. And it came out today. A bunch of comic shops were having their midnight release last night. Places having parties and get-togethers for.
Did you go pick yours up today at your store?
I didn't get a chance to today.
It's got to be in your box, right? You have one of those boxes, right?
Yeah. So I called. I had to call actually because every Tuesday evening I get an email with the stuff that is getting pulled for me. And when I checked my email, it was not on there. And I was like, oh shit. So I called them just to confirm that it had gone through. And the one of the workers there was able to confirm that I indeed did have it, which is actually, this is a funny thing. So we've talked about Saga in the past. I discovered Saga a little late. And so I have not bought any single issues. I've only ever bought trades and hardcovers. And this is my first single issue, which is kind of weird because I'm starting halfway through. But yeah, whatever. I don't want to wait now to read them. So, and I know my wife is the same way. She'll be reading it right as soon as I finish it. So I'll probably go either tomorrow or Friday to go pick up my stuff, and I'll digest it as quickly as possible. And I actually want to do like a quick reread too of all this stuff just to like know where I left off, because I think they've been on hiatus for like a year, 2 years.
It's been a good minute. You know, Sarah's read all of them. She's waiting for a new Saga. So maybe I'll surprise her and head over to the comic book shop in the morning and just be like, yo, you got the new Saga? And just bring it back. Bam. Here you go. Now you're a comic book reader. When you get this, when every 2 weeks you fucking roll in there, or like every month, and you're like, give me the one. Now you're doing comic books the right way.
Yeah, we'll have to get you a little short box to start with to house those comics.
Honestly, terrible idea for me to. I had a short box for Star Wars when Star Wars comics came back.
Right.
I did all of them for a really healthy chunk of time. Like I was there every Wednesday is comic book day, right? Every Wednesday. I was there every Wednesday. I'd get every new Star Wars comic. I'd read it that week, all in prep for The Force Awakens. I was oh, this is going to help me get ready for The Force Awakens. None of it fucking helps you get ready for but you think like they're going to be dropping all these secret nuggets about The Force Awakens. Yeah. There is nothing in there, but
Marvel's still dropping those Star Wars comics. Like they just keep coming.
You know, the people swear by those Darth Vader ones. I read the first two runs, the first two Vader runs, and I loved them. And people swear by the Darth Vader runs.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I hear people talking about the Aphra series, which I haven't read any of them, so I don't really have an opinion, but that's a character that a lot of people seem to like, and they were hoping was going to maybe show up in Book of Boba Fett, so we'll see.
I mean, I think we still have time, to be honest. I think judging by, we're going to get into it, what kind of happened this week, I have a lot of opinions on what's going to be happening, I think, in the Star Wars television.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But real quick, have you read any of the saga?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've read the whole first two, like, big books.
Oh, okay.
Not the compendium, like the thick ones, but the, like, the first two of those. Yeah, and maybe even the first three. I may have even gotten in. There's like six of them, right?
I think six trades, and then they did, like, what you're talking about, the compendium, which has all basically the first 54 issues. So right, everything up until they took the hiatus.
I'm definitely past the third trade.
Okay.
I think I got to like four or five, and I just like burned through it in 2 days. And
you
just
can read those so quickly.
Yeah. And I just remember going like, I need to stop. I'm just like, like burning through this. And then I just didn't pick it back up. But then Sarah got obsessed with it, and now I'm like, I gotta.
That's exactly how I was really surprised at how connected Stacy got to it. She like, dude, she flies through them. As soon as I would bring a new trade home, she would read it before I would. She was just like, boom, I want to read it, and I'd be like, all right, cool, don't tell me anything. And
it's the penultimate comic book right now. I think it's the
really
best
fun
comic.
Man.
Yeah,
I was telling my buddy Tracy this, guest of the show. He hasn't read any saga yet, and I was just telling him he's a fan of Why the Last Man and some Brian K. Vaughan's other stuff. And I was telling him, in my opinion, it's his best work.
I think I'm gonna go tomorrow and buy, or I guess I could grab some of the Sarah's trades for Paper Girls. I might actually because I'm going up to the snow this weekend for just like a little quiet vacation, and I might bring Paper Girls, or maybe I'll bring Saga. Maybe
Dude,
I'll finish
Paper Girls
Saga.
Is great too.
I just want like a good thing to read up at the cabin, and I think either of those would be a really fun read. Well, you'll have to let us know next week.
Yes,
how you're feeling about Saga as you kind of dive into your favorite comic book world. I will jump in next with a show and tell. Have either of you caught Euphoria?
Not yet.
I believe I recommended this highly to you. Not that it wasn't already on your radar, but I have not watched every episode. My wife recently started watching it on nights when we do this because she Bachelor hadn't started up yet. And let's just say that I've seen enough that I'm terrified for my girls in high school. And every morning I take a walk and I walk past the high school in Burbank. And now I'm just terrified. And I've realized
that it's
literally like this generation's kids.
My wife said the exact same thing. She's just like, I tried watching it and it's too like triggering basically.
So yes to all of this. Yes. Like important to note before let me say this before I start joking around about Euphoria. Euphoria deals with very intense subject matter. It is, you could categorize it in the trauma porn category, where it is very intensely rooted in trauma and making you feel what it's like to experience that trauma and to live with trauma and to changed it like I don't want to diminish the storylines of Euphoria before, because I know this is a comedy show and I'm going to start joking around about Euphoria. I just think it's really important to preface that before I start joking about it. Okay, so I'm aware it is real subject matter. That being said, shit's fucking ridiculous. You don't need to fucking worry about watching it and being like, oh no, my daughter, this shit's nuts. Like, I know that this shit happens,
bro. I used to be that way. Then I had these kids, and it fucked me up.
I get it. I know. Listen, like, listen. These kids are doing fucking crazy shit, and I'm not saying that like kids don't do this in high school, but like every single kid that goes to this fucking high school, you're just like, God damn, that's what you're getting up to on a Thursday night? Like, oh my God. Oh, Maron. Just like, oh my goodness. It really is like literally, like, I just hear my grandma going, oh, Maron.
How
oh
do I not have
God.
That sound bite?
Oh, Maron. Just me saying, oh, Maron.
That or Polly Walnuts.
Okay. So, like, I have now watched, in the last week, I watched all of season one. I watched the Rue special. I watched the Jules special, and I am caught up on season two. So I enjoy it.
Wait, there's specials?
Now, with that being said, so during COVID, they obviously couldn't make that show, because how can you make a show about like nine people just fucking each other left and right? And like, you can't do that in the beginning.
It sounds like they're in a bubble.
Exactly. So basically, they did these really cool specials in between season one and season two, where Zendaya's character is like at a meeting with her sponsor at a nice diner. And you know this, Steve, right up my alley, just judging by my work that you've seen me do, the work we've worked on together. It's literally a conversation at a diner for an hour.
Well, that's why,
what I'm talking about.
And that's why, because when I hopped into bed one night and Amber hadn't gone to sleep when we were recording and she was watching it, and I didn't get, I don't know, 3 minutes into the thing, and I immediately texted you and was like, bro, you should really like, and I know I'm like the 100th person that's messaged you this in like two years, but I was just like, yeah, you should check this out. It's like A24 TV.
It is. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I really like it. It suffers from a couple of things. Too many people told me how much I was going to like it, which made it tough when I started. I was like, you know, I'm not that
easy. But you did it. You did it. I'm proud of you.
I did every single episode. I'm caught up, and now I will be watching Euphoria until it ends. The other thing is, and this is just something that I need personally in my storytelling, that Euphoria has, but not a lot of, which is like glimmers of hope and like not the promise, but the potential of like
redemption.
And I just like, boy, oh boy, it's looking grim on that front on this show. And this, again, I know I prefaced it. That's not the point of the show. I'm aware. I see what it is. I value what it is. And I think a lot of people really need shows like this to really kind of help them unpack their trauma. And I think some people probably like it because they are curious as to a lot of these things. It's just different. I think season two is more A24 than season one. Season two is very like that camera's whipping around all over the fucking place. You're just like, yeah, man, turn me upside down, throw me on the roof. Woo! You're just like, they go nuts. And you guys know the whole thing with the film, right? With season two?
Only because of you, mm-hmm. And then I looked it up.
So this
I know absolutely nothing about the show.
This is cool, Cisco. And then we'll get off Euphoria, because I know I don't want to talk about it and I don't want to spoil it for you guys. But the cool thing about season two is that Kodak put an old vaulted film stock back into production just for Euphoria.
Mm.
So literally they were like, we want it to look like this. And Kodak said, okay. And I think it's called ectochrome is what it's called. Ektachrome or ektachrome, something like that. It's not Kodachrome, but I just think that is, to me, that gets me really, awesome. Really excited when you hear stuff like that. I just want more of that in this new world of like, homogenized is a mean word, but you guys know what I mean. Like we're in a space right now where sometimes a lot of it can feel similar, even when it's like tonally not similar. It's just things have a similar look. I think as a culture, we've kind of decided what we think is like, this is what superhero looks like. This is what Star Wars looks like. This is what this looked like. So to have something that feels a little just sort of experimental in the television space. I know there's a lot of it in independent cinema, and there's a lot of it in television too. But just to see something that would normally probably like Netflix would throw a couple bucks at, and it would just look like a teen show, and then they would just have it be really grim. This is still, it feels like the storytellers are at least delivering the story in a way to me that feels really like exciting and frenetic and fresh. Like it really is like, it's very Scorsese. That's why I tweeted, I need to get into Martin Scorsese. Cause like, no joke, dude, Euphoria feels like Casino, the show. Like it's like a constant montage and train of thought monologue thing. And it's really cool. Worth checking out, but if you have young daughters, maybe just go in aware that like it's pretty brutal if you, you know, if you worry about things like that. And then I don't want to spoil this because I know Steve is still cruising his way through it. And I know you don't watch it, Cisco, but like, I'm going to say right now, I have a thumbs up for Ozark part one of season four, but I got to see how part two goes before I can solidify a thumbs up. So I got to see how it finishes. So this is the last.
Maybe once I get through it, you and I'll hop on and do a little special.
Sure. I don't want to talk about it because you're the one who introduced me to that show. It wouldn't be right of me to give my opinion before you finished it. So, all right, Steve.
Yeah, buddy.
What'd you bring to show and tell?
Guys, you know I'm not out of the three of us, I'm not the comic book guy. I'm not the comic book pop culture movie guy or anything. But I got to tell you something. I think I might have my favorite this era comic book thing. And it just so happens as of today, it is the biggest streaming TV series in the world. And that is James Gunn's DC, The Peacemaker. For all intents and purposes, this is another one of those things that on paper just I should not like. But for whatever was going on in my chemistry right now, I'm fucking loving this show. It's exactly what I need at the exact right moment. And if you're not watching it, I think you should watch it. And yeah, you're going to go, Steve, that's fucking stupid. But I had a good time. I'm going to keep going. You might recall, I don't know, we might have been in quarantine stream. It was 2021. I talked about how I watched this movie with John Cena and Little Rel, and it was stupid as fuck, called Vacation Friends. But there was something about it I really liked. And more importantly, I think I'm going to buy stock in John Cena. Guys, my stock is just like, I just invested more in John Cena. I'm liking The Peacemaker. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's fucking hilarious. And by the third episode, you're going to be all in. And that's all I got to say about that. If you haven't watched it yet, you got to watch it.
Are you going to start wearing jorts down to your ankles?
Bro, I already got a pair of Tevas. Like, come on. Let's just fucking go for it.
You're just going to be running around talking about, like, you can't see me. Maybe. Bum, ba, dum, bum. Play that music whenever you walk in. It's like the John Cena super fan over
here. I mean, I don't know his whole wrestling thing, but
you're going to go back and just watch them all on YouTube.
What we learned about Steve is that he's fucking just loves John Cena. And like next week, he's like, fuck, dude, have you guys caught this fucking John Cena flick? It's so good.
I guess I got to watch that Fast and the Furious with him now.
Yep, got to watch that.
Although I'm pretty sure I can skip that one.
Oh, you mean Dom's brother?
I guess. No, I can't buy into that.
Hey, man, he's not part of the family.
Is he Dom's brother? I thought he was.
Yeah, he's Dom's brother.
I haven't watched it, so yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's from the trailer. That's not spoiling anything.
I thought he was Paul Walker's brother.
But let's get to the most important thing here. Cisco's favorite restaurant, McDonald's. They got a menu hack.
I just want to say I'm starting Peacemaker this week.
Okay.
I'm going to have to start that's it too my next because show. I've been hearing nothing but you're not the first person.
I don't want to get on the hype train of it. I did not want to like it, but guys,
I liked him in the Suicide Squad and I liked the Suicide Squad. And so I was prepared to enjoy it and I've been hearing nothing but good things about it.
And I got to tell you, Jennifer Holland is great in it. Everybody's really, really great in it. It really clicked for me in the third episode. There's something about the third episode and there's a character called Vigilante in the third episode, in all of them, but he has he shines particularly in this episode and it just, I don't know, man. It's what I
just want to see Eagly. Eagly sounds rad.
Eagly is rad.
Sounds right up my Eagly's sounds rad. Right up my alley.
It is wacky.
All right, I interrupted you.
Anyways, guys, I know we don't really eat there. Cisco definitely doesn't. But I saw this somewhere. We got to talk about this.
My girls do. That's for sure.
McDonald's has a new gimmick. They want you to download their app so you can, starting January 31st, do the what's called the McDonald's menu hacks. I just want to go through this real quick with you guys. So first off, you can order the surf and turf. They'll give you a fish Filet-O-Fish and a double cheeseburger. And
it's a Big Mac with a Filet-O-Fish patty.
Well, no, we're not there yet. No, we're getting there. This is the surf turf. This is the double.
It's got a cheeseburger.
This is a double cheeseburger and a Filet-O-Fish. Now, if we cruise on down, you got the crunchy double, which is a double cheeseburger with like 6 chicken nuggets and barbecue sauce.
Oh.
Next up, hash brown McMuffin. Pretty smart. Pretty smart. Followed by the land, air, and sea, which is basically a Big Mac with a crispy chicken breast and a fish filet or filet-o-fish added to it. Just out of curiosity, which one of these tickles your guys' fancy? How do we feel
about
this?
I've done one of these before.
I have not done any of these before. I mean, maybe I've put a hash brown on my McMuffin.
I've put a hash brown in a McMuffin before. I've done that like on a road trip, like on the move.
Maybe I've done that.
Got to eat. Like,
if I could put a hash brown in a McGriddle, I'd fuck with that.
Yeah, that's a tried and true. That feels like that's a no-brainer. I think that's like
getting an In-N-Out burger and putting your fries in the burger.
Exactly.
I mean, I put my cheeseburger at McDonald's. I always have.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. Out of all of these, the one I would probably try the crunchy double.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm looking at that. And granted, a double cheeseburger is not my style. But I definitely am shocked I've never put chicken nuggets and barbecue sauce on like a regular cheeseburger at McDonald's.
They're basically going like full
stoner
Jack in the Box.
Well, is McDonald's struggling? Like, what is with all the like
this feels
gimmicky?
Like,
what's going on? It's like we started with Travis Scott. We now have the Mariah Carey meal. Like now we're doing the hacks. Like what?
I don't think they're struggling. Here's what I'll say. Here's the really weird thing about this is like, also like, the art looks like all of these are for like a 3-year-old. It's really weird. Like, it's not even like,
it looks like the lineup for fucking 1994 on TGIF Friday.
It's for that Euphoria crowd.
Ooh. Bro, maybe. maybe? Like,
Why not drop this on, but wouldn't it be smart to drop this on like 420?
Yes. Here's what I'll say, and this is where I wanted to contribute, because I think you guys will be not surprised by this, but you guys know that I don't eat fast food anymore. I fucking quit. I haven't had it in 2 months, especially not like I haven't had McDonald's in more than 2 months. But like the only fast food I'll eat, because it doesn't count. Which one doesn't count?
In-N-Out.
In-N-Out
Fuck
burger,
yeah, it doesn't count. In-N-Out burger doesn't count. That's a fucking restaurant.
Made fresh.
Is not fast food. That's a fucking
made fresh
ass restaurant.
As Harper would put
get
it.
Get it straight.
As Harper would put it, don't fuck with my lemon.
We're due for a bunch of jealous people on Twitter to make fun of it for a little bit. So just know I'm saying it already. Like, y'all can complain about In-N-Out burger while you wait in line for 6 hours for a burger from there.
For your Travis Scott burger.
It's when it comes to the fast food stuff, man, the last couple months, when I get really busy, right? It's like, oh, fuck, I just got to eat something and get some sustenance. And I think I just found myself just going, I think I'm done with this. I think I'm done. I can't ever, ever eat it again. It just finally like didn't gross me out. It's not a judgment thing. It was just a thing where I went, yeah, no more. Like, I really can't do it. And I mean, obviously, like, I crave stuff like this, but I've done a pretty damn good job of killing, like, fucking this shit from my diet. So when I see this stuff, I laugh about it now. I'm like, that's fucking hilarious. Like, but I also don't know that I ever was the type of person that would put fucking chicken nuggets on a double cheeseburger.
No, so, that's like, not your steez.
That's not my steez. Like, no. I don't do like the crazy Jack in the Box stoner shit. Like, even when I do fast food, at least it's some level of like, I have some self-respect and control. Like, I don't just go fucking hard in the paint with everything. But I just wanted to say that to tell you guys, I'm proud of that fact for me because
we are very proud of you. And I just want to say that we still have a rain check on our outdoor movie screening. And I just want to let you know that one of the things I asked for Christmas is a goof, because you know Christmas lists or whatever, and my mom and family are always like, where's your list? So it was like, I just put a bunch of random shit, and I put a Smashburger press, like cast iron press, on my list.
Fuck yeah.
My mom got it for me, and let me tell you something, the last 2 Fridays in a row, what has been the meal my wife has asked for?
Smashburger.
And let me tell you something, You get them Hawaiian roll fucking hamburger buns. I get the good beef, and I have mastered the smash burger bun, the smash burger that is. You want burgers never say die, I'll make you burgers never say die. You want fucking Cisco's burger, that whatever Cisco wants, I'll make that. But I have mastered it, so the next movie screening, I will make you your burger.
The answer is fuck yeah to that. And I just want you to think about how to do a Western bacon cheese smash burger.
Easy.
All right. Okay. So that is, man, that's some efficient, successful show and tell. Now, it feels weird to go to this next show segment because I feel like we're talking about another show, but we're really talking about this show and it's that show. And I got a lot of opinions. So let's get to what everybody wants us to talk about. What do you say we talk about the Book of Boba Fett? You're gonna kill it. That whole buildup, we didn't even get to the best part. Yeah! Fuck yeah. Let that shit play. If fucking Jay-Z doesn't turn this into a fucking song, I don't know what else I can say.
The next fucking Watch the Throne?
Right? That's the fucking opening to Watch Woo! The Throne too. Right? Yay! At it again!
Woo!
At it again with my boy! Yay!
Are we talking about the right show?
I was gonna say, hold on, sorry. Did I play the right music? My bad.
You did play the right.
My
music.
Bad. Did we? I don't know. Did I?
I think we can confirm that Star Wars Television has the best music that could turn into kick-ass fucking hip-hop songs. It's like that, like, well, obviously Ludwig did This Is America, so he has that kind of in his system already. But okay, so this week's the reason why we're joking, obviously, if you're listening to our show, I know y'all have already watched The Book of Boba Fett, and clearly you saw the same thing the three of us saw, which is straight up an episode of The Mandalorian right in the middle of Book of Boba Fett.
Now, guys, I don't read books. Do you guys read books? Because I don't read books. Did they do this kind of – because, like, Boba Fett's chapters, is this something they do in books normally where, like, you've, like, followed for, like, four chapters and then all of a sudden it's this whole weird other thing? Is that a thing in novels?
I was reading Harry Potter, and then right in the middle I just got one chapter of Fight Club. And then it went right back to Harry. It was fucking weird.
Fight Club with Dobby?
Yeah. Fight Club with Dobby. No, I mean, I have my theories, and we'll do that after we kind of wrap up and talk about the show. But we'll start with you, Cisco. What were your thoughts on this week's Boba Fett, The Return of the Mandalorian?
It's the best episode of the season because it's not about the rest of the show. It's about the Mandalorian. Like,
then technically, does it count as the best episode?
Yeah, I had the most fun with it. I definitely enjoyed it the most. It started off crazy, stayed crazy throughout the whole thing, and I'm so intrigued to see what's going to happen. And I'm like, do we have to finish the Boba Fett story? Can we just roll into season 3 of The Mandalorian and see where him going to go find Grogu? Because that's all I really want to see.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm gonna tack on, because you mentioned something about the beginning, but I want to get Steve's reactions before I start rambling. Steve, what did you think of this week's Book of Boba Fett?
I thought it's probably one of the best 58 minutes of Disney era Star Wars I've seen in a long time. I'm I know it's like we'll get into it, and I know we're joking. I don't really, I don't want to knock it for being like a Mandalorian episode within a Boba Fett episode, but at the same time, I'm going, that's what it is. And I left it going, so can we just like, I know we've got the Ahsoka thing, we got the Andor thing, we got the Obi-Wan, can we just like stop it and just say the Star Wars show? And like, this is now like, sorry, Anthony Carboni and Homegirl, but like, this is now the Star Wars show. And it's like every week, maybe for four episodes, it's with Boba Fett. And for a couple, it's with Mando. And a couple episodes, it's with Ahsoka. And like, we just tune in year round. And it's just, this is what it is. Like, I don't know. At the same time, my reaction to this episode as a whole, I enjoyed the fan service. I enjoyed all of it. I'm sure we'll get into more of the details of it. I thought it was great. I thought it was badass. I don't know. It was fucking great.
Yeah, I started it, and we had just finished the finale of Ozark. Now, Ozark's a real fucking good TV show. So, like, this, I'm not saying that this isn't as good as Ozark, but you guys know what I mean, right? It's like tuning into, like, a season finale of Breaking Bad and then jumping over to The Mandalorian. There's just a stakes level and an intensity that just doesn't translate. So like, that's already a weird jump, but I'm not going to miss Boba Fett at midnight. And what was really funny was I was with Sarah and my sister-in-law, and it started and like we had been smoking a little weed. That's what we do before we watch some of these shows. And fucking Jasmine just goes, "Who's that robot?" When she sees the Mandalorian, I was like, "That's the Mandalorian." She's like, "Boba Fett?" I was like, "No, it's not Boba." Like, trying to explain this episode to someone.
Me with the first episode of The Mandalorian to Amber.
Yes. So she's like, "Who's that robot?" And then he walks into that butcher and she goes, "Is he at a butcher's? Why is he picking up meat?" Like, she like couldn't understand what was happening. And then she goes, "Who are those dogs?" And I paused it and I went, "This is hilarious. And here's what we're going to do. You and I are going to get baked, and you and I are going to do a Star Wars watch along on the podcast. Cause this is one of the funniest
Please
things.
Record that.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard." And then I politely said, "But I need you to go away while I watch this because Stop you're ruining it." Questions. I was like, "You're ruining it. Cause I know it's fucking silly. And I know it's like kind of childish, but I really enjoy it. And if you joke about it, it's going to make me not like it." So her and Sarah got up and walked away, and I couldn't stop laughing about "Who's that robot?" "Who's that robot?" I said, "That's a man." And she's
Why
like,
"Does
he ever
tell
take
me that before?" I should have given that to Cody for the fucking artwork.
Oh, who's that robot? But so we started it, and they kind of dipped off, and I started watching it, and I was like, the music on The Mandalorian fucking just absolutely crushes. It's so good. To hear that come back, it felt very like, oh man, yeah, like I like Book of Boba Fett more for one specific reason, is that it's a through story. It doesn't feel like a Monster of the Week, but I'm much more invested now in The Mandalorian story. And I think like the two of you, I just like, this is wild that like this is such a swing. It's such a choice to just go like, bam, now it's a Mandalorian episode. Cisco, why do you think they did this? What, why do you think they went this route?
Okay, so like my real opinion is that I think that the Book of Boba Fett is an afterthought. I think that the Book of Boba Fett happened as a placeholder for season 3 of The Mandalorian because they needed time to be able to make that show. And they had this character, Boba Fett, that they were able to get Temuera, and they saw that fans liked Ming-Na as Fennec. And they were like, well, let's do a Book of Boba Fett show, I guess. And they kind of haphazardly have put it together, and it feels like that. But they also already are gearing up for season 3 of Mandalorian. And this is the perfect example of like, they knew what they were going to be building towards.
Yeah.
And that's what I really think. I think that I understand people liking Book of Boba Fett. Good. I hope you enjoy it. Enjoy it. You know, whatever it is that you like about it. Cool. I'm happy for you. But yeah, it does feel like a slap together show, rushed to be made, to kind of like keep people interested.
Star Wars this year while we wait for Mandalorian season 3 and some more movies.
Yep.
I hear you. What about you, Steve? Why do you think they did this?
I mean, I know you and I talked about it earlier, and I don't want to influence my answer based off of that. I hadn't even thought about it. I'll just go based off of my reaction while watching it, which was, I'm so confused because this season of this show has had roughly 2 hours of some of the best Star Wars that we have gotten in the last 10 years with episode, was it 2 with the Tusken Raiders that we were all raving about? And now this episode where just in general, in terms of Star Wars, which I know I joked earlier, which like, can we just call it the Star Wars show? Cause like, I'll take those 2 hours over everything, but I'm so confused. I'm not conflicted. At the end of the day, I don't really care, but I'm confused as to how like the Moped Power Rangers episode and this episode are even in the same thing. I'm just confused.
So this is what I think. And I don't think I have an original idea here, but I think something very big happened today when the Mandalorian episode happened in Book of Boba Fett. I think that we all got our first taste of how the Star Wars television cinematic universe is going to work. I think that we are going, and this is excluding Kenobi. Kenobi does not fall into this, so don't quote me because those are different timelines. But I do think something's going to happen in Kenobi that will directly relate to either Ahsoka, or there's rumors of a Bo-Katan show. Obviously, Mandalorian's coming back. Obviously, we have Andor. But I think very specifically, the Mandalorian cinematic universe is something we all got our first taste of, which is all of these stories, whether it be the end of Rebels, whether it be Mando and Grogu and Baby Yoda, if you don't know Grogu, and then Book of Boba Fett, Bo-Katan, Ahsoka, Moff Gideon, all these different characters, all this thing, the Darksaber, the history of Mandalore. It's all leading up to some very big, to quote comic books, crossover event in television where all of these things are going to have probably a movie, I bet directed by Jon Favreau. He'll do a proper Star Wars movie with it, and it'll be like a whole thing. And I think they're starting to test the waters here by like, we got Boba Fett. He's not really a Mandalorian, but he wears the armor. Mandalorian. Now you're not a Mandalorian anymore, but you wear the armor. Oh, but you have that Darksaber. Whoever has that rules Mandalore. Bo-Katan wants it to rule Mandalore. What's Ahsoka doing? We know Sabine is on. You see what I'm saying? They're setting up this like big Mandalorian thing that's going to happen on Mandalore. And somehow the Mandalorian or Bo-Katan or somebody is going to end up like, that's going to be this big epic battle that, or this Star Wars that we're leading to with this.
It'll be like the war for Mandalore, basically.
Exactly. Like the movie will be Star Wars, the war for Mandalore. And it'll be like Grogu will be a fucking, will be able to fight with a lightsaber. You know what I mean? By that point, like he'll be young enough. He'll be somewhat able to do cute baby Yoda fighting. We'll have BD-1 droids. We'll have all this, all the eras of all the Star Wars. So they're all coming together.
The one thing I thought about, because you mentioned this to me before I had finished it, because full disclosure, I watched this today when we're taping this, which is, you know, it came out at midnight this morning when you guys watched it, and I knew I was in for something at 1:30 this morning when I changed the diaper and looked at my phone and went, oh fuck, they liked it, based off our text thread. And Alex had, I'd already spoken with Alex a little bit about this before finishing the episode today in my travels. And in watching it and thinking about everything you just basically said right now on the show, I went, well, where does this fall in the sequel trilogy part? Like, where does Mandalore fall in that time, that part of the timeline?
Well, I think there is a very big clue in the second season of The Mandalorian, the Bill Burr episode, where they go to that Imperial complex and all them clones
Best
are in there.
Best episode of that season.
I think that's the secret. I think they're going to do a whole thing about either Snoke or Palpatine or some kind of thing. I think, to be honest with you, what it kind of feels like is it feels a little like, yo, if we could kind of get this all back on track and get this all to be kind of this like singular vision, it seems like they're using this show now because it's universally liked by fans, and that's kind of how it's going to be going forward. I could be crazy.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. What do you think, Cisco?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think that, listen, I think that there is something to be said for having growing pains, right? Growing pains throughout Mando season 1 and 2, growing pains throughout Book of Boba Fett, and, you know, exactly what Alex just said, finding your legs, finding your through a line, finding the sort of like cohesive vision. And if we get there, I will be very happy. I'm excited for the journey. I will be following closely along and, you know, hopeful for what we end up getting. Like I said before, I'm excited for Kenobi. I'm excited for Andor. We'll see what happens with Ahsoka. With all of the stuff, we'll see what happens. But, all I know is that I very much enjoyed this episode. I had a lot of fun. It's the first episode of this Book of Boba Fett season that I didn't doze off during. I haven't brought that up, you know, when we were talking about the previous episodes. Every single episode, I dozed off at least once or twice during it, and I'd have to, like, you know, wake up, rewind, and catch back up on what I missed. But this one was really good. I'm a Pedro fan, obviously. This is a question that I have for you guys when it comes to the Pedro as Mandalorian. Especially in this episode, because they made such a big deal about whether or not he removed his helmet and him being a true Mandalorian. I don't understand the thought process behind casting a guy like Pedro Pascal and then just using him as a voice.
Well, I think that this particular series has, in my opinion, proven that sometimes the helmet on is better than the helmet off. And I think it's also proven that because of things I personally am privy to that I know is on the internet regarding the first season, at least, his contract was not officially done, and they had already shot maybe an episode or two before they had officially signed their Mandalorian. And it's a way of maybe also enticing someone of his caliber of doing this without actually having to be there to do it all the time, and he can do the voiceover.
Yeah, I mean, I guess logistically I understand that.
Yeah, from a production standpoint.
Yeah, that part I completely understand. But I'm also such a fan of him as an actor. I'm currently watching Narcos, and he's just like fucking great throughout the whole thing. And I like him in everything else that I've seen him in. And I like seeing him. I like seeing him. You know what I mean?
I think you're going to see more of him.
You will.
I hope so.
I think that was kind of the like thing. Have you taken your helmet off? Yes. You can't be a Mandalorian. So what does that free him to do?
But she also sends him on a mission to reconnect.
But it also,
a Mandalorian to like, he has to go to that river or whatever.
But
it is,
I also think that he will ultimately, I personally think he will ultimately become the leader of Mandalore, and I think that that is something that he will change, and he will prove that, like,
yeah,
it doesn't fucking matter, and it goes to show that at the end of the day, he's more loyal, he's a better warrior than fucking Tubby John Favreau Mandalore, and
it's also. I know that you guys know this, but I will just repeat it. But like, That was also a fundamental philosophy difference from Bo-Katan's Mandalorian crew and this and his Mandalorian crew. So there are Mandalorians that are like, you don't need, you can take your helmet off.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Is that he, what we've seen from him so far is that he's a true believer. He's a true believer in the Mandalorian creed, which is like, to be a true Mandalorian, you have to keep your helmet on at all times. He only took it off
for Grogu.
No, well, he took it off during the mission with Bill Burr.
Oh, he's taking it off three times in the show, yeah, right?
But only out of necessity. He never wanted to do it. And yeah. And so it, and we're seeing him now. He's running around with the helmet on. And after talking to the armorer, she sent him on a mission to recommit himself to the creed of the Mandalorians, which is what seems like they're setting it up to be like, he's more committed and more solidified in the belief of like, I got to wear my helmet all the time.
I don't know.
I think it's an interesting conflict.
Yeah.
Like, I get what you're saying, but I also think it's a very interesting conflict. And I
listen, this is not a complaint. It's
more yeah, no, so I know what you mean. It's like, we got this great actor and this great face, why we should see it more, because they're a great actor, like
right.
Pedro's an incredible actor. Okay, so we get, first of all, love how violent the opening was.
Mm-hmm.
Super violent.
Love how that's they just like they from the slice from the opening, the dude in half. But yeah, but how they just fuck it, this is a Mandalorian episode. Yeah. Right out the gate.
Yeah. Again, I don't know how I feel about that, but it's what they did. Let's just go forward. And how did we feel about, I mean, the episode, not a lot really happens. It's, you got the lightsaber and that stuff I think was the most interesting mm-hmm. of the whole episode. And then we kind of get into this, and I don't mean this as a derogatory, but we get into the fan service portion of this episode where it's like, okay, what's the Mandalorian going to do now? He's going to go visit Betsy Sedaris, and they're going to build out a Naboo. Amy Sedaris, sorry, not Betsy.
I mean,
Sedaris.
I like Betsy Sedaris better, but
different.
Dude,
Amy Sedaris.
I love how her character has evolved.
It's wild.
I mean, they've committed to it.
Yes, and I think that it's gotten to a place that it's not nails on a chalkboard. It's like. It's actually like I found her to be really funny and charming in this episode.
But they've stuck to the whole Buster Keaton element of it.
Yeah,
it's hilarious to me.
It's not, but it's toned down. You know, it was much more.
It is,
more
but
so.
they've kept to it too, though. It's weird.
Yeah, but no, I think that's her character, and they're sticking to it. But I think that they're tweaking it to the point where it's not as sort of grating as it had been.
It was a little cringy. In season one, it was a little like,
yes.
We're finding it. It had a little level of cringe.
I dated a Jawa stuff, but that cracked me up.
But
that
I also awesome. Feel like that's something where if your daughter was like watching it, all this, she would laugh at her.
Well, because it, like you said, in the early parts of our exposure to her, it was very slapsticky and just kind of like silly nonsense. And now they've developed her as a character.
Yeah.
At least in this episode.
No, for sure. Her whole stuff about having never been off world and
yes.
No, they definitely add much more layers to her. I'm curious how you guys felt about, I know you've said about episode one and whatnot. I mean, it's a very Easter eggy episode.
Oh, well, I think I asked Alex, like, is that Anakin's Starfighter? it looks yeah. like the Starfighter that I
oh,
saw
it's
him
it's
in.
A Naboo Starfighter for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Anakin's, but it's definitely a Naboo starfighter, and it is. Obviously, they're making Grogu a little fishbowl so he can World War II.
I don't know about you guys. I think that's that yeah. Memphis Bellet.
He's going to Memphis Bell
that's
that
hilarious.
Ship.
But I got to tell you, I don't know about you guys. That's my fate. That's probably the best ship design, in my opinion, out of the prequels.
Yeah, I could... I like the pod racers.
No, personally. I like the pod racers too, but there's something about that.
But it's
to
a
me
ship,
that's
but this
like,
is more of a ship.
And when it showed it up there with the fucking two X-Wings, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm in with
agree.
That.
I really like the way that thing looks. Oh, you don't like Boba Fett's ship?
What is it? Fire starter or some sprayer? Shit? I don't know.
Fire sprayer.
You don't the bongo sub?
To. I like it's fine.
The submarine, the bongo sub where it's they fine. Ride through the planet's core.
The little oscillating fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we think that the little Star Cruiser that he took to Tatooine is a little built-in thing for them to sell the Disney World and Disneyland Star Wars Galactic.
No, something. But I did see a funny tweet that was like, we literally just watched 10 minutes of a great galactic assassin take commercial travel and have all of his packages arrive on time. Like all of his suitcases got there. I was like, that is kind of weird that it was all there. I did like the little Rex droids kind of implying
that. And he was saying the same dialogue that you hear in
the Rex droid is great.
In Star Tours.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was implying that he was on a Star Tours flight. Yeah.
So funny, dude.
I don't know. I liked it. I liked the is it Fallen Order droid from Fallen Order 2?
I don't know that that's the Fallen Order. But
the same
Order
kind
droid.
Of one. Like, yes. I thought they did a good job. I didn't think that it was too heavy handed. I thought it all fit and I liked it. I liked the immediate, and it's funny because before this I was reading Jermaine's sort of thing. The thing that Din gives the Jawas his list of special items. And then the thing that he gets is the pole from A New Hope that they use to keep the trash compactor open. I immediately went, oh, that looks like
the thing
from...
Oh, that's funny.
Like, I immediately... That's the first thing I really went with was I was like, oh, my God, that's from A New Hope. That's the dumb pole thing.
That's pretty funny.
I think it was really, really fun. I'm... very curious to see. Clearly the Mandalorian's gonna be in the next episode, like, but it feels weird to have that. Like, they made it a point that, like, they were like, I gotta go get a little friend. It's like, is this just it? Like, he gets on his ship and then go gets Grogu, and it's like, you know, previously
did we
on the
see what they made for Grogu? Is it like fucking
no, I want to know
it,
what
is
that
it, is it like fucking brass knuckles? Like, what is
it? Looks way too small to be armor. But I think what it could be is maybe the Mandalore symbol.
Like a necklace or something. Like a necklace. Yeah. I mean, how sick would it be if it was like a weird MF Doom, like Dr. Doom?
It just seems so small. Like the way he held it, it looked like something really small.
Maybe it's a little like the ball, but it's like a little Mando helmet or maybe. Something. Like that little ball that he likes. I don't know. Or maybe it's the necklace on the ball or something. I thought it was great. I thought that all the Mandalore lore, no pun in, like the Mandalore lore was great. All of the stuff like the Night of a Thousand Tears or whatever. Seeing
that
all was really cool. Like,
well, they did a really good job of explaining that to everybody who didn't watch the animated series.
I'm raising my hand, guys. You can't see it, but I'm raising my hand right now. I don't know anything about the stuff from any of the animated series. So like all of that, all of the explanation of like how the Darksaber works, I really liked.
It gets heavier as you wield it, like it becomes hard. Yeah, it's cool.
As he fights against it and like the struggle that Bo-Katan had with it, I think that that's all.
But even Jon Favreau's Mandalorian, when he was carrying it, he clearly had a hard time wielding it.
They do a whole thing on it with Sabine. There's like a whole episode where like she has it and Kanan's teaching her to use it. And it's same kind of thing. He's like, you have to connect with the blade through the force. You can't just hold it. You have to. There's a spiritual element.
I like that it's not just a lightsaber. You know.
Yes, there's. And I think the implication is that they're all like that. But the Darksaber in particular, because a lot of Mandalorians that use it don't have the force. And what I think they're trying to get through to them is like you have to respect what this weapon is, and once you do that, like I think the Jedi have the same thing with their lights. I could be wrong. Please don't tweet Matt Martin.
I'm sure people are. I'm sure the Star Wars fans are screaming at our podcast if they're still listening.
I don't
you
understand
idiots!
The Darksaber that perfectly. It looks like a Tron Ginsu knife, if you ask me. Looks like one of those cool like a static electricity ball. On a Ginsu
knife.
Because
I can't remember, did Moff Gideon have like an issue wielding it? No, right?
No, but we never
he's a Jedi. He's a Sith, I guess, probably, right? He's got like Jedi-ish powers or something? Or is he just a Moff?
He's a warrior. I don't know.
I think it's one of these things where, like, it's not that, like, you can't use it, but there's this level of, like, I think it's more of the philosophy behind it is what she's teaching. Like, don't you feel it? You feel how heavy it is? The burden of ruling Mandalore is, like, in that saber for a Mandalorian.
Yeah. Know? Well, yeah, when he burnt himself or cut himself at the beginning, I was like, why did he do that to himself? You know, like, how did that happen?
And then he, like, spun it and it, like, came down on his leg or something. It, like, brushed it. I was like, oh, that's kind of fucking cool. Like,
well, I think it's because he was like, he was kind of struggling with it even in that fight.
Yeah.
He's not very graceful with it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's not fucking a Jedi yet. He's right. It's very cumbersome and lumbering and not, yeah. I'm just excited. I think, I really do get excited every week for the Book of Boba Fett. And
what are we hoping for next week? Are we going to get a... Because so far it's been, I love it. I love it. Are we going to get a... Or are we going to get a fucking... I love it. Like,
I think we're going to get an I love
technically,
it.
Technically, this should have been an in my opinion, because I liked the last episode. If it was like keeping episode... The last episode I liked. I really liked this one.
Remind me what happened. What was the last episode?
The last episode was Thundercat. The one where, yeah,
Thundercat. Oh, right.
The whole Fennec Shand episode,
where
they drop, they blow a load in the Sarlacc's beak.
Right.
Oh, you remember?
The whole fucking, like, it's funny because I thought about that episode this week too in regards to Luke and his robotic hand and was like, oh, he's a mod.
Anyways. Hey, how about flying that baby through Beggar's Canyon?
Woo! I enjoyed it. I loved it.
That was
I loved
sick.
It.
That was great.
I loved all the sound design. I loved all the... I loved all... They, again, this season may not have been a perfect season in terms of television so far, but it definitely has 2 hours of some of the greatest Star Wars that has been done in 10 years.
There's a lot of greatest hits happening right now. I'm going to say it. I'm looking forward to every time I see something new. And I get excited about the potential of the story, not so much about how much it knows what Star Wars stuff I like. It's not a criticism. I know that it probably meant a lot to big prequel fans to see a Naboo starfighter in Star Wars again, in the same way we probably felt when the Jedi training ball rolled out through the Millennium Falcon. Like, I get it. That's really awesome that people are getting what they love about Star Wars given back to them. So hopefully they keep it going. Cisco, where can the people find you at home if they want to check you out?
You can find me on Twitter, Cisco Kid with 2D 77.
Steve-O, where can the people find you at home?
You can find me on Twitter at Rex Manning, and I don't know, see what I'm doing on Letterboxd.
Y'all, check me out on Letterboxd, Alex Backus. I'm reviewing movies, I'm watching films, I'm doing my thing. With all that being said, we will see you next time on BSR. Later.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar.
Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with that little baby shit.